This is TWiT.
Facebook claims that improving the product is the sole purpose of all of this stuff, and that's kind of their fig leaf in all of this, because they're not really getting genuine informed consent. They basically have this user privacy user policy that everybody agrees to when they sign up for Facebook, which nobody hardly anybody reads, and those who do read it barely remember it, probably. And so they're saying, hey, this is all about improving the service. This isn't about benefiting mankind or doing, you know, any sort of weird research. But as we're going to hear from Reid Albergati here, who went into some detail on this in his story, they do lots of things, and it's not necessarily part of a larger organized policy. It tends to be more willy-nilly. Now, Reid Albergati, if you're joining us now, you opened your piece by talking about a Facebook experiment where users were told they were being locked out of Facebook until they could prove that they were both human beings and also legitimate users. Can you tell us about that experiment?
Well, again, that experiment was designed to improve the Facebook product. They have these anti-fraud measures, and sometimes real people, legitimate users, are caught up in the anti-fraud measures. So what Facebook was doing here, they wanted to see how people reacted to this when a real legitimate user gets knocked off the service. All those people were ultimately let back in, but some of them had to actually send in government IDs to Facebook. And I just thought this was a fascinating look. This research was never studied. It was never talked about publicly, but I think it's an example of the kind of stuff that happens every day within Facebook, and data scientists are working on these types of projects. And I think what this, you know, this big controversy that erupted over the weekend does is it gives us an opportunity to take a closer look at some of the things that Facebook does that users, most people, had no idea was going on. I mean, it's really fascinating. And, I think we'll learn more in the coming days. And Facebook will probably, I mean, they've said they're working on potentially changing their policies because of all the negative feedback they've gotten.
So just to frame the situation, I'm sorry, Elise, just to frame this situation just for clarity and to drive up the ethical issue here. Facebook, knowing that people were legitimate users and that were humans, lied and said, we don't know that you're legitimate users. We don't know if you're human. So please go through this process because we want to test something. They're essentially falsifying information. And that's related to a question we got from a Tech News Today fan who wrote an email to us. His name is Kevin Berg. And he points out that the Facebook terms of service allow the use of personal data, but they don't grant permission for the manipulation or falsification of data for the purpose of research. And he asked if those are two different things. So are these ethical issues, the sort of either the manipulation of data as opposed to the mere use of data, and also the kind of falsification or the putting up a false front for the purpose of this research? Is there an ethical line to be drawn there, Reid?
Well, I think you're talking about a legal question, and the terms of service may not be clear enough right now to answer that legal question. We'll see if there's any litigation that comes out of this. But there are certainly ethical implications to all of this. And I think that's really what Facebook has to address. Right now, it's a huge public relations issue. And, you know, there are academics calling for a separate terms of service for research being conducted. So, you know, if you're going to be included in a research pool, you have to get, you know, give a separate permission and then be debriefed on the research that you were included in afterwards. I don't know if that's feasible just looking at the volume of research that Facebook's doing on a daily basis.